Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio. I'm Byron Lazine and Chaz Cook, along with Greg McCarthy, all from the one team at William Ravers Real Estate. What's going on, boys?
Not too much. And I just got to say real quick before we get into it, I am not excited about the end of August coming up, but I am excited. The 31st.
Oh, the I'm really excited about August 31st.
That's right.
That's going to be... That's why I'm excited about the end of August, because that day is going to be epic. The 94 Niners, are they invited?
Every single one of them.
All right, what's the details?
We got the one team end of summer party going on Thursday, August 31st. We're going to have the Timmy Maya Band. We're going to have open bar, big spread of food. Bongo Ron's is coming, right? So there's going to be cigars. First year we had 100.
We got the photo booth back, too.
Photo booth back, yeah. We had 100 and something people. Last year we had over 200 people. So this year, let's go for 300. Like, let's get some 94 Niners out there.
I sent a Facebook message to Dougie Braun, you know, the tank man. Service station equipment, your residential tank specialist, by the way. The tank man, he writes me back. He goes, we're going to try to make it. Like, Doug is juggling so many things in his life. Like, he's such a social butterfly. Like, he might not be able to make it.
Tell them there's free food.
This is the party of the year, the event of the year.
There's drink. There's cigar, Bongo Ron. With this, you want a Connecticut shade, he's got it. You want a Habano wrap, he's got it. Doesn't matter. In Nicaragua, Ecuadorian blends, he's got it all. We'll probably have the cornhole going. There's a nice big courtyard. You got, you know, plenty of space. Bring the kids. They can all drink. Dougie doesn't have anything holding him back. I don't even understand the objection. We'll try to make it, Dougie says.
I think he just doesn't want to have to drive down. You know he's going out somewhere else anyway, so he might as well just come and hang out with us.
He's got no excuse. Absolutely no excuse. August 31st, 350 Goose Lane at the One Team headquarters. Somebody else wrote me back. They're like, how much is it? I'm like, no, it's free. It's for all our friends, the 94 Niners. Family, past clients, you know, agents that we work and network with, a lot of great agents throughout Connecticut that we partner with on deals. They're invited. I mean, we're just having a big end of summer celebration. I love that weekend, Labor Day weekend. We've got that Thursday night. So I don't know where can they find details about it. There's a link.
There's a
Facebook event.
Yeah, Facebook event created. You can go and find out all the details. You can let us know if you're coming. I know I went on and invited probably like 60 people to it. So getting some responses that way.
If you need the link for any reason, then email me at Byron, B-Y-R-O-N, at oneteamct.com. oneteamct.com. I'll get you those. And it'll have all the details on there. So yeah, but I love Labor Day weekend. You've got that. And then we kind of slide into, for me, my fantasy football
draft
picks, which happen. Okay. So that does happen a little bit there.
That's
on
that same weekend. Yeah.
18 years we've done this draft.
What's your record?
Bunch of New London County boys. I've got three championships. This will be year 18. I've got three championships.
That's respectable. Nice. Super respectable.
Yeah. I don't believe, Greg, you didn't win last year's team championship, did you?
Oh, I did. I was a regular season champ and postseason champ, all around champ.
The one team champ.
Yeah. I was wishing it was a little bit more difficult, but.
Oh, I'm just saying, I don't think you won because I think there was a controversy there at the end. They canceled that game during the playoffs. Remember, they canceled the Bills game.
I don't seem to recall. I just remember seeing that first place at the end of it.
Greg won with an asterisk. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Unlike the one team, which has no asterisk on our stats, still the year-to-date most sales for any team in Connecticut, and that is also 2022 and 2023. But we're not talking about that. I just find ways to slip that in, Greg, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, yeah.
No asterisk, Greg.
Anyways. There's a big asterisk on inventory, and that's across the country. Where are all the homes? Have they disappeared? Let's take a look at the 10 cities with the largest jump in listings. By the way, this year, 2023, is on track to be the lowest year ever recorded for new listings across the country since they started tracking. So there is just a huge shortage on inventory. It's why we've seen mortgage rates go up to the highest point in 23 years this week alone, and home prices keep going up. It's like, how do mortgage rates continue to accelerate and be at the highest point since December of the year 2000, as we sit here today, highest point since December 2000, yet home values keep going up? It's when you have historic low inventory and no signs of that turning around. In fact, Warren Buffett, he went out there and put $800 million this week into three national home builders. It was D.R. Horton, Lennar, and NVR. And all three of these home builders are at all-time highs on their stock price. Like, why would Warren Buffett put $800 million when they're hitting, they're near all-time highs? They're just under their all-time highs. You know, they've ripped this year. It seems like he's buying late on these national home builders. That tells me that Buffett believes the inventory crisis in real estate is not going away anytime soon, and that builders are still going to have this significant opportunity to churn out properties, and that real estate's only going to get more expensive, not less expensive, long term.
You think this is one of those plays where he's also going around buying up some large acreages of land around the country? And
no, I mean, he's just buying into their, you know, he's just buying into the company. So they own, by the way, actually, it's interesting you say that. He's not buying large chunks of land. The three companies he bought, Lennar, D.R. Horton, and NVR, actually have the least risk on the amount of land they own in comparison to other national home builders. They're holding the least amount of land. So he sees that as a benefit in those companies, because if the market turns, he doesn't want, if the market turns away from builders, you know, with something unexpected happening, he doesn't want them holding the bag like all the builders were in 2008. So he wants them actually holding less land and just producing homes, as opposed to some of the other national home builders, which are holding a lot more land. That's where a lot of builders got in trouble into 2008. All right, we come back. We'll give you the 10 cities with the largest jump in listings and the 10 cities with the biggest drop in listings, and which Connecticut city is on the list. Listen to CT Real Estate Radio. This is 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. CT Real Estate Radio. This is Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, and Greg McCarthy. You're listening to Service, not Service Station. Hey, by the way, Service Station just bought 94.9. They just bought them out.
There you go.
Add to the lineup of companies for...
Who told John Fuller?
Boys. You're listening to 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk, of course. One of the great radio stations of all time here in Connecticut. And we've got the greatest sponsor of all time for this show. It's Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. Nobody does it better when it comes to residential tanking. We've got the Tank Man. If you come to our party on August 31st, 350 Goose Lane, Guilford, starting around 5:30 p.m., plenty of food, plenty of drink, all that good stuff. The Tank Man is supposed to be there. So if you want to meet the Tank Man in person, might be a good opportunity, or you call them up and have them look at your residential tanking situation. Maybe you got a tank in the ground that needs to come out, right, Greg?
Absolutely, every time.
Big yup right there. That tank needs to come out. It needs to be dealt with accordingly with all the state and legal procedures. There's some, what's the word I'm looking for there, Greg? There is some environmental procedures that need to happen when you're taking an oil tank out of the ground and removing it. Service Station, they've got it all, got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted on that situation. They handle it all for you. Or if you just need a new oil tank in your basement, they've got the highest technology oil tanks. These things look like the aliens landed in Connecticut, came down through your bulkhead and installed the new latest and greatest technology of oil tanks. It's Service Station Equipment, 1-800-801-TANK, 1-800-801-TANK. call the tank man, get him over there. I heard, I was talking to Marissa from 94.9 this week. Shout out to Marissa. Maybe the hardest working employee at 94.9. Obviously on air, you know, Lee Elsie. They did get Chris back. Chris used to be our producer.
Oh, he's Chris another. They back. Got a,
he's back, but he's up oh, in wow. Bloomfield, so he's okay. not with 94.9, I guess. But anyways, they got a lot of hardworking people. I'm chatting with Marissa. Okay, just chatting some radio stuff. You know, so high technical radio stuff here. And so, she tells me, this is kind of, you know, top secret information here, Chaz.
Uh-oh.
I mean, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
She tells me that Service Station Equipment is also sponsoring another show. It's the show right after ours. There's a 12 o'clock show, a local sports show.
I have actually caught part of that show. It is not a bad show. But
not a bad show. Good show. We like the show. Yeah. All right. We're fans of the show.
We are fans of the show, yeah.
You know, Martin's fans of the show, too. So he's sponsoring that show, apparently. And I got to imagine that they're not doing as great of a Service Station ad read as we just did.
No, and we're going to have to leverage that now because this has been now 8 years CT Real Estate Radio has been on, right? We're going to have to, in the next couple of months here, we're going to start leveraging some of Martin's money again, I think.
Yeah, we could tease that. You want to tease that out now?
No, that was the tease. That was the tease for now.
Yeah, we'll just say that. That's all we're going to say for now. That's along the lines of why we're chatting with Marissa. We are going to be going back to giving out a lot of Martin's money. You know, Martin actually doesn't even know that yet, but that's okay.
He might now.
That's okay. We're going to be getting back to giving away Martin's money here in the very near future. So make sure you keep listening here. You know, even if you miss the show and you need to catch up on it, the replay can always be on CT Real Estate Radio, the podcast. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff coming here for the fall season on 94.9. All right. We got 10 cities with the most listings or the most, what is it? The biggest bump in listings is realtor.com data.
So it's both. We have the largest drops and the largest increase.
Which all right. So let's go with largest increase. Let's go with the positivity, right? We need more inventory to make real estate affordable. The best way to fight inflation on anything is more supply. What are the biggest increases on cities? The metros, rather. They go by metros. So when you hear a name, it's the metro. It could be outside of the city limits. So metros with the largest increases for listings.
Yeah, let's kick it off with number 10. Number 10 was...
And this is actually not listings. This is inventory. So homes for sale.
Yeah. Des Moines, Iowa was at number 10.
No. Oh, 10.
Yeah. I was going backwards.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. You're going backwards. Yep. Des Moines was number 10. You know, nobody talks about that place except when there's a big, you know, primary election coming up, which I think there is.
A little bit. Yeah. Like that part of the country gets really popular right around that time.
Very popular. Other than that, they just get ignored.
But they're seeing some inventory come in. Number 9, we got Little Rock, Arkansas. Number 8, Augusta, Georgia.
Hmm. I'll say about Little Rock. So it's one of the locations with the most affordable homes right now. And they've got an increase in homes for sale. So more supply makes things even more affordable. So I don't know. Little Rock, Arkansas. Never been. Sure, it's beautiful, but... There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to Arkansas either. Just nothing really attracts me to there. But Augusta, Georgia, I've been around that area. Absolutely gorgeous down there. Of course, you have the Augusta Golf Course. Number 7, Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's a bit surprising.
You know who's from Augusta, Georgia?
Who's that?
Curry, our listing tour video man.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was from that part of Georgia. Yeah. Number 6, Wichita, Kansas. So coming back to that central part of the country right there. Number 5, Omaha, Nebraska. And this is where they picked up breaking down how much inventory has come back. So Omaha, Nebraska has a median list price as of July for $400,000. Active listings, 1,666. And a year-over-year change of an increase of 26.4%. So...
It's where Warren Buffett lives, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Number four, Memphis, Tennessee, man. Tennessee is on the map for real estate. My brother and sister-in-law live down there, and she's an agent. They've got all kinds of new developments, townhomes, you know, kind of where you go and just kind of pick your model, right? So they are booming down there. So number four, Memphis, Tennessee, median sales price out of the end of July, $325,000. Active listings, 2,728. And year over year change in active listings up 33.2%. Greg, who's at number three?
At three, we have New Orleans.
The Big Easy.
A little bit of a surprise there.
New Orleans, one of the few metros in the country that has actually dropped in values. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why you're seeing the number of sales increase there. A lot of insurance issues there, of course, with the hurricanes.
Right, that little belt. So yeah, New Orleans had... $339,999 median list price, active listings just under 4,200, year over year change in active listings 39.6%, so up almost 40%. Wow. Number two, this one again is surprising to me, El Paso, Texas, because a lot of good things are happening in the great state of Texas. We're actually going to be heading down there this coming week for the Tom Ferry Summit.
Right.
We're going to be in Dallas.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Not El Paso. Yeah.
I'm leaving tomorrow, Chaz. When are you getting in?
Monday. I land right around 9:30 in the morning.
Excellent.
Yeah. So El Paso coming in at number two with a median sale price. So this is why. Median sale price of $304,800. Active listings, 2,112. Year over year change, positive 40.9%. And the number one area with the highest increase in inventory is Cape Coral, Florida.
That's just north of about maybe 45, half hour, 45 minutes of where I am sitting right now.
Wow.
Of course, we go to Texas in a couple of days, and then I'll be back in CT. But yeah, I'm in Naples. Cape Coral is just north of here. Cape Coral got really hurt during Storm Ian. That has something to do with that. And obviously, it went way down on inventory too. So there you go. Those are the places where you're seeing the biggest increase in homes for sale, which, you know, if you were listening earlier, a lot of tea leaves saying that inventory isn't coming back anytime soon. This, you know, it's kind of like you've got, here's what you got. You have 42% of homeowners that don't have a mortgage. So when you're if you're in your car right now, you're driving down the road, you go past 10 houses, four of them don't have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. 90% of the mortgaged ones, so 9 out of 10 of the ones that are mortgage have an interest rate, a 30-year fixed rate, significantly less than 6. We've got rumors that 8 is in the near future. We're nearing 7.5 right now. So you have most homeowners with a really low cost fixed rate, which is causing most sellers are actually buyers on the other end. It's one of those things that's causing, you know, a lack of inventory. It's like, well, I don't want to buy is the reason I won't sell. Not that I don't want to buy a new house or live somewhere else. It's that I don't want to buy under these conditions. So that is the reason I won't sell. And it's what's keeping those prices extremely high, this low, low inventory. When you actually see, I could make an argument that when you see rates start to come down, you might see so much movement at a certain point because there'll be pent-up demand of people wanting to move that you'll see a huge increase in inventory, which also could soften up prices a little bit. I mean, I can make the argument that it'll bring, you know, so many buyers out, and at certain low price points, those will get bid up. But I don't know, on the 500 and up, I could actually see it loosening up prices, which seems crazy.
What about
rates come down, prices go up?
3 to 4, you think we're going to see a lot more institutional buyers come back into the game? Like they were heavy in 2020, 2021.
Institutional buyers were heavy the last couple of years. They were aggressive. They own about 1% of homes across America.
Okay.
So people that say institutional buyers own all the homes, it's not true. they're Wall Street's in the business, obviously, of netting a return. If it's the best return at the time, they'll be in it. But they don't own all the homes. They'll never own all the homes. When money was cheap, it was more attractive. Institutional buyers, to Chaz's point, has certainly pulled back in a big way. Speaking of pulling back, we will be back here after a short break. Stick with us, CT Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Welcome back. You're listening to CT Real Estate Radio here on 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. I'm Byron Lazine, along with Chaz Cook and Greg McCarthy from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. One Team at William Ravis is the most homes sold, has the most homes sold for all of 2022 and all of 2023. That's per the CTMLS, not per an Instagram post. That's the real deal. Pull the data from the MLS. It shows you the real facts. Nobody sold more homes than the One Team. And so let's go through and see what we've done in the last 7 days, because you're only as good as your last 7 days, Chaz. So hopefully the numbers are good. Let's take a look at the One Team Rewind. Announce all of our new listings. The only place on FM radio in CT that you can get your new listing announced on FM radio. It's right here. It's on Real Estate CT Real Estate Radio. So let's go through our new listings. And then when we wrap that up, we'll tell you where the number of homes for sale has fallen the most, the 10 cities where inventory has fallen the most, and which Connecticut city made the list. All right. Chaz, what do we got for the rewind?
We had some beautiful, we always have beautiful new listings come on, but this week, especially, there are a couple of showstoppers here because we had 6 new listings, 10 under contracts, and 8 closings. Our first new listing is 72 Old Pent Road in Westbrook, Connecticut. Came on the market for $1.3 million. 6 bedrooms, 4 baths, just under 2,400 square feet. Built in 2005. This property is gorgeous. You're overlooking Seaside Avenue, that coastal area of Westbrook. It is a charming colonial retreat with breathtaking views. Welcome to your private oasis nestled on a tranquil private road with sweeping marsh and Long Island Sound views. So great job, Emily White, on bringing this one to the market. We, Greg and I, both know how hard she worked to get it. It is a showstopper, so make sure you reach out to Emily at oneteamct.com for your private showing of 72.
Emily W.
Emily W. At oneteamct.com for your private showing of 72 Old Pent Road in Westbrook, Connecticut. Next up, another Emily White showstopper. She is having herself quite the week. This one is in Madison, Connecticut, 826 Boston Post Road. Hit the market for $1.9 million. 7 bedrooms, 5.5 baths, just over 5,000 square feet. And this is also a historic home built in 1785. This property is nestled on just under 1.75 acres. It is right in the heart of Madison. You've got also 8 fireplaces to accompany this, an extraordinary living experience. Again, that is 826 Boston Post Road in Madison. This property, multiple decks, patios. I mean, you can just kind of pick your spot each day of the week and go to a different spot and hang out. So make sure you reach out to Emily W. at oneteamct.com for your private showing of 826 Boston Post Road in Madison. Next up, 21 Burr Street in Brantford. Came on the market for $599,000, 3 beds, 2.5 baths, just under 2,700 square feet. This was brought to us by Michelle Snyder. Awesome. Michelle Snyder has been crushing it the last couple of months since she came back into the real estate game and joined the One Team at William Ravis. And this property is located in the Granite Bay Association. And you have picturesque views of the bay there. So reach out to Michelle at One Team. Michelle.Schneider, that one I did know, at oneteamct.com if you want to check out 21 Burr Street in Brantford, Connecticut. Again, that hit the market for $599,000. Next up, we've got 192 Waukes. I can never say that right. In Waukes Hill Road in Norwich, Connecticut. Came on for $423,160. I always like a good price like that. You always got to wonder, like, where's that math come from? 3 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just under 2,000 square feet, built in 1977, this ranch-style home. It sits on just over 5 acres and being conveyed with the abutting 34-acre parcel and barn for a total of 39 acres. Whew! That is a lot of land. In this home, you can move right in and enjoy the bright open floor plan, remodeled white kitchen, gleaming wood floors, and freshly painted interior. If you are interested in checking out that property in Norwich, Connecticut, you can reach out to mary.pula@ravis.com for a private showing of 192 Wowekis Hill Road in Norwich. Next up, 586 West Thames Street, number 501, also in Norwich, Connecticut. This one hit the market for $399,900. You've got two bedrooms, 2.5 baths, just under 2,200 square feet in this townhouse. You got a nice HOA of $718. It's pristinely presented, expansive one-floor unit with jaw-dropping views of the Thames River. So who wouldn't like to own a condo that is overlooking the Thames River in Norwich, Connecticut? And this one you can reach out to either mary.pula@ravis.com or tina@oneteamct.com for your private showing of 586 West Thames Street, number 501. Our final new listing, Two Hill Road in East Lyme, Connecticut, hit the market for $799,900. Another waterfront property, two bedrooms, one bath, just under 1,200 square feet. Built in 1900, you've got a third of an acre lot with dramatic waterfront views looking straight up the Niantic River. It's also on the end of a cul-de-sac, so you have a ton of privacy. You've got 150 feet of water frontage, so you can reach out to Anne Carpenter if you are interested in scheduling your private showing at Two Hill Road in East Lyme, Connecticut. Again, right on the Niantic River, so stunning property there. Under contracts, we had 10 of them. We had under contracts in East Hampton, Plymouth, East Lyme, Guilford, Woodstock, New Haven, Marlborough, New London, Waterford, and Uncasville. Closings, 8 of them. Congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Middletown, Meriden, Guilford, Clinton, Middletown, Groton, Norwich, and New London. All right, we've got just a couple open houses going on for you guys this weekend. We have one going on today, right now, in the middle of the show, 23 Milton Road in Waterford, Connecticut. Started at 11 a.m. and will go until 1 p.m. today. And then tomorrow, Sunday, August 20th. It says Saturday, August 20th. That's what threw me off. That new condo over at 192 Wowekis Hill Road from 12 to 3 p.m. You can go and check that out. Again, that is 192 Wowekis Hill Road in Norwich, Connecticut on Sunday, August 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. That's going to do it for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind.
Congratulations to all of our clients with a new listing and an open house this weekend. And there you go. That's the One Team Rewind for the week, brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. All right, Chaz, we've got 10 cities. Connecticut's on the list here.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 metros, rather, with the largest drop in homes for sale. Connecticut, I'll just give you some pretext here. Connecticut is sitting at 2 months of inventory. There are some towns that differ from that. Months of inventory or supply is how many months would it take if no new homes came in the market for the current supply to sell through? 6 months is considered an even market between buyers and sellers. You can see where the pendulum has shifted into seller control being at 2 months. This is a full month and more below the national average, which sits at 3.1 months of supply. Surprisingly, there are a couple towns that are even over the national average in Connecticut, but they're very, very small transaction numbers, and they could be skewed by a couple of overpriced listings and, mm-hmm. and such. Okay. So don't get like, if somebody comes to you with numbers where they're like, the months of inventory in your town is 4 months, tell them to get a life, because it probably means there's like three homes for
three
sale.
Homes. Yeah, exactly.
There's like three homes we're dealing with in the town. So you can't get into the numbers on that kind of stuff too crazy in some of these smaller towns in CT. But one of our bigger towns and bigger metros made the list of where the number of homes for sale has fallen the most. I don't think it's any surprise to us. We're lacking inventory in a big way here in the Northeast. Let's start again from 10 and go to number one. Let's go 10 through six, and then we got to take a break.
But all right.
Off 10 through six real quick.
Number 10, Chicago, Illinois. Number 9, Akron, Ohio. Number 8, Washington, D.C. Not a state. Number seven, well, Providence.
These are metros, though. These are metros.
Oh, that's a good point. Number seven, Providence, Rhode Island. And number six, Boise, Idaho. Those are your bottom five areas that have the number of homes have fallen the most.
All right, so that means CT made the top five. We'll tell you exactly where they sit in the top five of where the number of homes for sale has fallen the most when we come back. This is CT Real Estate Radio. I'm Byron Lazine. I've got Chaz Cook and Greg McCarthy. We'll be right back. 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. All right, CT Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, and Greg McCarthy from the one team at William Ravis Real Estate, of course. And we've got the top five where metros, rather, with the largest drops in homes for sale, where they are. 10 through 6 was Chicago, Akron, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Providence, and Boise, Idaho, running through the list 10 through 6. Now let's run the list 5 through 1. Where are the metros with the largest drops in home for sale? What do we got for number 5?
Number 5, you mentioned it before, Connecticut made it into the top 5, but we are at number 5 in the Bridgeport, Connecticut metro area with a median list price of $1,099,500.
So this is where Realtor.com, like obviously Greg, Chaz, we've all worked, you know, deals in Bridgeport. And just maybe having some understanding of Connecticut, you might be listening and saying, Bridgeport, $1 million average list price doesn't sound like the Bridgeport I know.
Right. Wait. So they call the Bridgeport metro area, which includes Norwalk and Stamford, and it's more than 1 million is the median sale price there. So they don't even mention the city of Bridgeport. They just call it the Bridgeport metro area, which includes Norwalk and Stamford.
They're basically saying Fairfield County.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is what they're saying.
Yeah. But they
sometimes Realtor.com does not know. And this is where you've got to be careful with getting your information directly from Zillow or Realtor.com or Redfin. You got to be careful. I'm not saying there's not good information from a lot of these companies. They have a lot of data, a lot of broad macro data that can be useful. But when you try to bring that back to the micro, to your local community, your local neighborhood, your street in particular, that's where sometimes they don't even know what the heck they're talking about. They're calling Stamford, Bridgeport. Those are two different places. I enjoy them both. I love what they've done down in Bridgeport by the water there, where they've got the bar, they've got the Bass Pro Show, they got all those things going on.
They got the amphitheater too, where they put on the great concerts now. Yeah,
a lot of good stuff happening there. But
that's actually in Bridgeport, right? So it's not Norwalk and or Stamford. But yeah, they are down 36.4% in listings year over year. Coming in at number 4, our friends from up north, Worcester, Mass. And let's see, where does this Worcester, Mass includes areas such as Cambridge, Boston's downtown, and Back Bay neighborhoods. So they have a median sales price of $518,900. Active listings, first one I've seen, under 1,731, and that is down 37.2% year over year. Number 3, Seattle, Washington. I didn't realize homes were so expensive out in Seattle.
Oh, they're very expensive. Big tech community.
815,000 median list price as of the end of July. 4,267 active listings, but that is also down 38.7%. So were they... last year at this time, were they one of the areas that had an influx that, you know, was one of the outliers in terms of inventory and the shortage?
Meaning they were high?
Yeah.
Inventory? Yeah. Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
I'd be curious. Number 2, Phoenix, Arizona, median list price of $539,900.
Phoenix, I can tell you, was in that category because I've looked at Phoenix specifically. Phoenix, when the interest rates started going up last year, they exploded in inventory in quarter 3 and quarter 4 of 2022 and then have come ripping back down to like pandemic levels. And so when we started seeing Phoenix explode, sometimes Phoenix can be a precursor for what's going to happen in the country. The fact that Phoenix has come back down to pandemic levels of inventory tells you it's another tea leaf that, yeah, inventory is hard to come by right now. And the builders, right now the builders only have seven across the country, 70,000 units. Not a lot, single family units there. Not a lot at all, by the way. Not when you're, you know, Zillow says we're 4.5 million homes short. There's some reports that say we're 7 million homes short. We've got 70,000 new construction ones ready to come online. So, you know, this inventory issue is going to be around longer than we want. Kind of like high rates are going to be around long, you know, sticking around for longer.
Yeah, so even though they are down 42.4% year over year, they still have 8,232 active listings. So that is a significant amount of listings for Phoenix, Arizona. And number one, not surprised here at all, Stockton, California has seen the biggest decrease in active listings at 56.2%. They only have 579 homes for sale, with a median sale price of $587,800.
Sounds like a deal for California.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. There's your 10 metros with the largest jump in listings and the 10 with the biggest drop, according to Realtor.com data, who can't tell Bridgeport and Stamford apart. So take it for what it's worth.
Question for you, because you made a comment about 70,000 new homes ready to come on the market. Do you know which parts of the country kind of are holding that inventory? Is it more densely?
Well, I mean, Connecticut only builds 2,000 single family units. I mean, single family or condo, 2,000 new construction units for purchase a year. Okay. Jeez. So okay. A year,
right?
This is 70,000 right now in this, at this moment. Where are the majority of them? They're going to be in the, you know, Sun Belt area. Nashville has a ton of apartments coming online before the end of the year, should pull rental prices down in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, Tampa's a market where you've seen a lot of build. Texas, all over Texas.
Yeah, there's a lot of land there. Yeah.
Arizona, you know, specifically in that Scottsdale, Phoenix area, they're still building. They're still cranking. You know, those are the places. They're investing in the Sun Belt states.
That's actually interesting, because we have an article here about who's keeping the housing market moving, and all the places you mentioned tend to be warmer climates or in that Sun Belt area, right? Florida, Texas, Tennessee. So who is keeping the housing market moving? It's the baby boomers.
And
they are moving far away too. It's no secret that home prices have skyrocketed in recent years. A lack of housing supply relative to demand, coupled with a rise in inflation and interest rates, has kept the median sales price much higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a Bigger Pockets article here, and it goes through and breaks down how much of the current home buyers out there are baby boomers. And it says that boomers and cash buyers are leading the market.
I'll give you some numbers here. Baby boomers' total worth of U.S. homes, this is in the trillions of dollars, $18 trillion. Okay. Millennials, which has been the biggest buyer the last couple of years, this year it'll be baby boomers. They'll be the biggest buyer of real estate in 2023 because the interest rate doesn't impact them as much. But millennials own $5 trillion in home values. Okay. So millennials are almost 4x. The amount of home value worth that they own. Remember, baby boomers control 1/7 of the world's wealth. It's a population of just north of 70 million people. There's 8+ billion people on planet Earth, and they control 1/7 of the world's wealth, the boomers. So the boomers are going to be the least impacted by, you know, what's going on with the interest rate and the 30-year fixed. If they want to make a move, if it gets them closer to walk into a martini, you can do that, by the way, at 66 High Street, downtown Guilford, walk to your martinis.
That's right.
But yeah, if it gets them closer to walk into the martini, walk into pickleball, walk in, you know, taking a golf cart around, they can make that move. They've earned the right to do that.
Right. And so to put perspective on that number 1/7 of the world's wealth, it's 78.3 trillion in assets.
Mm-hmm. Big deal.
And because of
that, 18 trillion of that is real estate. So think about that. Think about the shift So we're talking about no inventory right now. I was chatting with this guy, Lance Lambert. He's the senior editor for Fortune Magazine on a podcast we do called Knowledge Brokers Podcast. So he's a senior editor of Fortune Magazine in the real estate department. I said, hey, there's an economist, Ivy Zelman, that says in 10 to 15 years, we could have an oversupply of inventory in 10 to 15 years, maybe the early side of 10 years, maybe the late side, maybe closer to 15 years. Her rationale behind this is that the boomers are holding $18 trillion of homes. And as they don't need two, three homes, or as they just maybe need, you know, assisted different type of living. Mm-hmm. I'm not pushing them off of planet Earth. Not at all. I love my boomers. But that's going to create a lot of inventory. And, you know, if we really try to do something, build more homes now, which we have to do. We have to do it for affordability. But say we make some measures the next 5, 6, 7 years to really get aggressive, trying to find ways to get more supply. And then what she's talking about with the boomers, you will have this massive transfer of real estate in this country. They call about the wealth transfer, right? But just looking at it from real estate inventory perspective, you could, I know there are agents today that can't even imagine what a high inventory market looks like. But 10 years ago, we had one. 2012, if you were a home seller, you know what I'm talking about. I probably sat in your living room or your dining room table in 2012 because you probably had about 5 or 10 agents come through at the minimum because no homes were selling. High inventory times can come again. And baby boomers are driving the market. I mean, it's a great idea to be friends with a lot of boomers right now for agents. All right. Reach out to us if you guys have any conversations about the market. OneTeamCT.com. 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 Love to have a conversation with you about real estate. Greg, Chaz, any parting shots here for the weekend?
You go to any more craft fairs, Greg?
No,
Greg,
craft
fairs. How was the craft fair? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to have to give it a thumbs down. I don't think I'll be making my way to another one anytime soon.
Berlin Craft Fair. Ban Greg McCarthy. He's not a fan of the Berlin Craft Fair. Well, I'm a fan of 94.9, all of our 94.9ers. Join us at the August 31st party at our headquarters. Email me, Byron at oneteamct.com if you need the link to that. Thank you, 94.9. Thank you, Cooper, on our end for making this show happen. And thank you, Service Station Equipment. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. CT Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk.